Hello and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's TV-based podcast.
Really? There's a camera on me now?
TV-based.
You know they say the camera adds £10?
Must be lots. That explains it. God.
I was going to say there's lots of cameras on me right now. Right, okay. So, hello,
almost
I'm Rob.
£10.
Yeah.
And I'm Andrew.
I'm Andy.
I'm outnumbered by Andrews and Andys and Anns.
And I'm an award-winning podcast host.
Yes.
So I have a bronze medal in swimming.
Yes. No. You got your 500-meter award.
I'm a 500-meter award.
Yes, I'm also an award-winning writer as well, because I won an award for writing in school.
And I'm going to an award thing next week.
Yeah, so you're going to be award-winning as well. We're all award-winning. How's that?
Although I did get my 25 meters when I was little.
So you're an award-winning swimmer as well. We're all award-winning swimmers, you know. We're athletes.
Yes.
I'm going to start doing what Remember does on Red Dwarf, putting a bronze swimming certificate, silver swimming certificate after my name. BSC, SSC.
Oh, yeah, that's how you go job hunting. Right, okay. Right. So, what have we got first then? We're going to kick off with the news.
Yes, well, first up, we have news. It's more a confirmation of something that's been long suspected for a while now. Marvel's The Punisher is getting a spin-off series on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's not surprising news. It's something people have been like clamoring for ever since Jon Bernthal appeared on Daredevil and was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, is actually, if you drew The Punisher with a magic pencil and he came to life, he would be Jon Bernthal.
Yes. Yes, he would. I don't think anyone can really go against what you just said there, because he's inhabiting that role in a way that only he can.
Yeah, he's pretty much to The Punisher what Ryan Reynolds was to Deadpool.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that.
Isn't this the most unconfirmed confirmed thing until now?
And what basically. Nathan Fillion would have been to Green Lantern.
Oh, no, you made me sad that didn't exist.
I know.
Anyway, not many details on the show yet. Just that obviously Jon Bernthal is going to be the main character. And the showrunner is going to be Steve Lightfoot, who has worked as the writer and executive producer on Hannibal, another show that I have gushed about before.
Okay.
And yes, I chose those words carefully.
I know you did. I saw what you did there. Did you see what he did there, Andy?
I don't think Andy did see what I did there.
Anyway, do continue.
No, because that's pretty much all the information about the show so far.
Okay. Well, I, for one, am happy that there is actually going to be a good Punisher. For crying out loud, I've been waiting for years.
You saying Dolph Lundgren wasn't a great Punisher?
I'm sorry, but when you have killer lines like, do you know how long a man can live when you tear his heart out? A long...
Nobody's forgetting.
No, still in dramatic pause. Time.
Won't you tear his heart out?
Yes.
I don't think The Punisher knows how anatomy works.
You're forgetting the classic that was in 2004, Rob. Or around about then.
Oh, was that the one with Tom Jane?
Yeah.
To be fair, Thomas Jane was a really good Punisher. Yeah. It's just that film was a pile of steamy, steamy turd.
Because you had John Travolta, who actually wasn't bad as the bad guy. He plays a good bad guy when he wants to.
He does.
It just, on that day, he didn't want to.
No, he didn't.
It was some weird kind of throwback to... Remember the character he played in Grease? As if he'd kind of gone off...
Danny Zuko thrown and became a gangster. Oh, man. I wish they'd gone the opposite direction with that film now and just, like, shoved him in a freezer.
I'll have to rewatch that film
just
now.
Just so that he had chills and they were multiplying.
Oh, no, if they actually made that joke.
No. Do you know what my favourite thing about that film is?
What?
It's all like the time and effort the Punisher must have spent, like painstakingly arranging cars so that they would explode in the shape of the Punisher skull.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, just how OCD would you need to be just to do that?
It's the same way, like, I imagine Batman at the end of, like, Dark Knight Rises drawing that massive bat symbol.
Oh, no.
Which is like, this is going to look great.
He blatantly nicked that from The Crow.
Yeah.
Because he does that with lighter fuel on the floor, doesn't he?
Yeah, but clearly, like, The Crow was the in-flight movie that Bruce Wayne watched on his way back to Gotham City.
Yes, he did.
Did that. I'm going to do that, but it's going to be
a
bridge.
That's a cracking idea.
Yes.
See, this is the thing I don't understand, right? Bruce Wayne in The Dark Knight ends mm-hmm. up in a hall somewhere, which we're assuming to be like one of the stands, you know,
yeah.
Kazakhstan, Pakistan, Afghanistan, somewhere
yeah,
around
desert
there.
Stan.
Yeah, desert stand. You know, so he ends up there and he escapes from there, but he's got no ID, no money, and all he's got are the clothes on his back and the shoes on his feet. How the hell did he get back to Gotham in like a week?
Well, I certainly know the answer he would give.
Yes.
It's because I'm Batman.
Batman, he can't fly, can he?
No, he glides.
He probably called Superman on his bat phone, or whatever he has.
No, he used his Batman credit card.
I was waiting for you to say it. Never leave home without it.
Oh, God.
You forgot that, didn't you?
I love that film, though. Oh, God. It's so bad, it's good.
No, it's so bad. So bad it's good is not a thing. I refuse to acknowledge so bad it's good.
Michael, it's so bad it's so a bad classic it's, without trying.
So bad it's funny is the thing, I'll admit. But so bad it's good is an oxymoron, and I hate morons.
Mm.
And I hate oxygen. That's why I refuse to breathe.
Yes.
Anyway, okay.
Shall we move on?
We shall.
Yes. This isn't exactly what I thought.
Is it not?
This next, it isn't live action, it's animation, and it's Watership Down.
Oh, good, I was going to say, remake. I think live action Watership Down kind of goes against yeah. many animal rights groups.
But yeah, it's been remade by the BBC and Netflix. It's been remade by the BBC,
yeah.
But it's going to be released on BBC and Netflix at the same time.
Okay.
It doesn't say when, but it's got an all-star Hollywood cast.
Okay, is this animated or live action?
It's animated.
Animated?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
I was going to say, because the last thing you want is live action Watership Down. Live action Watership Down would be a bad, bad thing.
Apparently, before I go on to the cast, there's rumour to come off complaints that Channel 5 actually aired Watership Down on Easter Sunday.
Really?
Yeah.
But it's a classic children's film.
Bright eyes.
Anyway, this has a Hollywood cast of actors. James McAvoy as Hazel, Star Wars hero John Boyega as Bigwig, Nicholas Holt as Fiver, Sir Ben Kingsley as General Woundwort, and Gemma Arterton as Clover. I'm going
okay.
on.
Hang on. Ben Kingsley as General
yes.
Woundwort. Oh my God. Can you imagine if he reprises his role from Sexy Beast? General Sexy Beast. Anyway, you were saying, Andy.
Yeah, it's Olivia Colman as Strawberry. Miles Jupp.
Which one's
as
Olivia
Blackberry.
Coleman?
She's the lovely one who bad things always happen to.
Ah, right. And what was that, Miles?
Miles Jupp. I think he's a comedian.
Miles Jupp,
yeah,
the
yeah.
comedian, as Blackberry.
As Blackberry. Freddie Fox as Captain Holly. And Anne-Marie Duff as, I can't pronounce her name, Heisenfeld. H-Y-Z-E-N.
Heisenfeld. Heisenfeld?
Yeah.
Heisenfeld, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
it's very unexpected,
so,
I'd say.
Hang on, who's playing Hazel then?
You said
it was James McAvoy.
James McAvoy.
That's the
yeah.
name you
and
said.
And Fiver is, because Hazel and
Nicholas
Fiver.
Nicholas Holt.
Actually, that's not a bad choice
and
for Fiver.
John yeah. Boyega is Bigwig.
Yeah.
Wait, James McAvoy and Nicholas Holt?
Yeah.
Yes.
Professor X and Beast are going to be rabbit best friends.
Yeah. Well, no, they're brothers, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sold on this now.
And John Boyega is Bigwig.
Yes. Yeah. That sounds really good.
I'm sold on this the moment you said Ben Kingsley was General Woundwort, because that is like the most perfect bit of casting for an animated movie or series or
it's
whatever.
A four-part series.
Four-part
on
you saying Ben
Netflix and BBC
Sir
One.
Ben Kingsley couldn't be a live-action rabbit.
I'd love to see it live action, I'll be honest with you.
My mind is rebelling at the moment from the thought of Sir Ben Kingsley in a rabbit costume going, like, you know, just rubbing his ears and twitching his nose.
Costume? No, he just got his face
BBC
paint.
BBC can't afford full Mavic costumes.
Just be face paint.
Exactly, it's Ben Kingsley with face paint and his hands on top of his head.
And just hopping along. Dogs are dangerous. While some beagle is just sniffing around him.
But admittedly, that turns the line completely on its head.
Exactly. And there's another news story destroyed. I can never watch this version of Watership Down now. Because I'm just going to be remembering that.
I don't think you can watch anything with Ben Kingsley in it now.
Oh, yeah. See, it was fine when I was imagining Ben Kingsley from Sexy Beast as General Woundwort, but then you had to go and ruin it.
Oh, I did.
As long as I don't have the bushy little rabbit tail, you're fine.
He's making it worse. Make him stop. In fact, I'm going to make you stop by talking about Sylvester Stallone.
That's an even worse image now.
I told you I'd make it
Sylvester
stop.
Sylvester Stallone's bushy tail.
Oh, you okay there, Andy? It looks like you're dying.
Oh, no, Andy doesn't have a drink. I'm just going to take a nice long sip of orange juice.
Yes, I'll just have some of my Pepsi.
Mmm.
Tasty.
So refreshing.
Anyway. Sylvester Stallone. Right. He's going to be in his first ever TV series. He's going to be on TV, finally. And I think he's the first out of the owners of Planet Hollywood to actually be properly on a TV series, isn't he? Because Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger aren't.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is on, not a TV, like The Apprentice, isn't he?
Yeah, but...
To act in a TV drama.
We've just been reliably informed, and I totally forgot about this. Bruce Willis did moonlighting for years. And I totally forgot because I used to watch that all the time.
And he was in Friends.
He wasn't an ongoing thing. He was in like one or two episodes. But Moonlighting, he was in, week out. So, yeah. Mm. Okay, so he beats Sly by a good couple of decades. Moonlighting was actually quite fun as well.
I guess, was that before he became like a big Hollywood star, though?
Yeah, it was before he became a big Hollywood star. Yeah, I think
so
it was just...
Stallone is kind of the first to go like... back to TV then.
Stallone's the first one to go in the other direction, yeah. Because Bruce Willis started off on TV and then there was Die Hard, which kind of his breakout thing. I think he'd done a couple of things before then, but that was his big break because that's the one that everybody went to watch. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, Sly is actually going to be in a television adaptation of Mario Puzo's Omerta, which is being developed by the director of Training Day, Antoine. Please don't make me say his surname.
Say it, Rob. Do it.
Antoine Foucault. Or Foucault. I'm going to pronounce it Foucault because it's spelled F-U-Q-U-A. Antoine Foucault. Right. It's
Antoine F-U-Q.
Yeah. It's being developed by the director of Training Day, Antoine Foucault, because I'm not saying it the other way. And there's no network attached to it at the moment, but apparently it is a hot project and it's being shopped around. It's looking at straight series. It's the third book in the Mafia trilogy that started with The Godfather. Because, you know, everyone thought The Godfather 3 was the third book.
Yeah. But it's not.
No, Omerta is the third book. And I think there's a video game called Omerta. I'm not sure.
I've heard of something
Yeah, it's a familiar name.
It's a title that I've heard of before. Google is my friend. Basically, it means a code of silence about criminal activities. And also, yeah, it was actually made into a video game. It was a browser-based MMORPG from 2003. Mm. And in the game, the player is a gangster in the 1930s.
So you're not expecting more like a third-person shooter type thing?
And, well, the slogan for it was the Godfather of Mafia games.
Yeah, I think that's actually on Steam as well now.
Probably. Many things are on Steam.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rogue Squadron isn't there, and that made me sad.
The books in the Godfather trilogy were The Godfather, The Last Don, and Omerta. Hmm. Interesting. Mm. So, yeah, Sly's going to be in Omerta. I think it could turn out to be an interesting role for him.
Is there any news on who he's playing?
There's just him who's been confirmed, as far as I know, but when more details come out, we'll let you know.
He's probably going to be the main character.
I don't know.
He's not going to be that one that's just in the background. It'd be funny if he is, but...
I don't know.
I could see him being like a mob enforcer type character.
I think maybe he'll play one of the main characters, but I think this... I don't think it's just going to be about him. I think he's just the first person that has been cast.
Yeah, because he's like the biggest name.
But it's like that whole thing with Dirk Gently. Tobey Maguire is probably a bigger name than...
Elijah Wood.
I still keep getting them two mixed up. Elijah Wood is a bigger name than Stephen Barnett.
Yeah.
Right? But Stephen Barnett is playing the title role. But Elijah Wood was cast first. So I think maybe it's something like that.
Yeah, where you announce the big famous person first to build a pipe.
Yeah, basically. Anyway, back to you, Andy.
This is another one of the most eagerly anticipated show of 2016.
Really? Really?
You're supposed to play along, you know. Top Gear is getting even bigger. The remake was quite big.
So, has someone been pumping more gas into them? So they can float away? Like some Goodyear blimp?
Should explain what's happened to Matt LeBlanc over the years.
Oh, Joey. Too many burgers. Anyway,
Top Gear is getting even bigger. It's getting its own sister show called Extra Gear.
Now, okay, Top Gear, fine. Extra Gear, no.
Hosted by Rory Reid.
Who's Rory Reid?
I don't know. But I've got a picture of him here, and he looks like he could be a presenter.
He looks like, but I look like I could work the checkout at Asda. Doesn't mean I do.
We'll be hosted by Top Gear presenter Rory Reid, so he must be a presenter on it as well. But yeah, this is similar to what your Britain's Got Talent or your X Factor or even your Walking Dead has, where it's got the talk show after about...
Talking Dead is the worst. So wasn't that episode of Walking Dead great? Yes, it was, because we're paid by the network to say that.
I'm not sure how to approach this topic, but Extra Gear just seems like a bit of a sop.
It doesn't seem the type of show, unless they're going about the show in a completely different way, that you're going to need an after show, because it's car reviews.
I think it's more of a sop to the people who are easily offended by things that they shouldn't really be offended by. Because when you look at the hosts of Top Gear, right, what's the one thing they all have in common, right down to the Stig's outfit?
Both maybe have an interest in cars. Well, all of them,
they're all white.
Well, except for the black guy who's one new presenter.
Rory Reid.
Yeah.
That's the one. He's the one in charge of Extra Gear, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I see now, like, the implication. They're kind of shoving him off to one side.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not sure if he might be on.
I'm just a bit worried that's how it could be viewed.
He might be on Top Gear, though. I'm not entirely sure.
If he's a fixture on Top Gear, okay, fine. But it's just... You know, are they going to put him onto Extra Gear and kind of decrease his presence on Top Gear? That's what I'm concerned about, because then it can be viewed in a certain way that possibly it was never meant to be viewed in that way.
It's going to be a more behind-the-scenes feel to that show, so it might be actually quite interesting.
It could be interesting.
Yeah, I guess it depends like how much interesting behind-the-scenes stuff there is.
If it was maybe a special episode where they go abroad, maybe... But I'd think, if I want to hear somebody's opinions on a show, I'd watch Gogglebox now. Because this actually will be on Gogglebox.
This is true. He's got a point. If you want honest opinions about a show...
And funny opinions.
So you could get people, like, giving their opinions on a show where people give their opinions on Top Gear. Yeah.
And don't forget Goggle Sprogs this year.
It's Goggleception.
No, Goggle Sprogs. It's going to be amazing.
What if it's Goggle Sprogs watching Gogglebox? Watching Extra Gear, watching Top Gear.
How about just have a Gogglebox episode of the, just call it Top Goggle.
What about, what if it's us streaming live on the internet while we're watching Gogglebox, watching Extra Gear?
Then the universe implodes.
And because they're all pre-recorded, but we're live, we'll have the people from Gogglebox watching us.
No, no, it's we're too far down the rabbit hole, Bob. Penny Kingsley is going to come upon us every second.
Yes.
You don't want to watch Gogglebox as us.
A what?
Too complicated now. If we get too far into it, we'll have to have our product placement in the middle of the table. Let me do on that show.
I have a question, right? I've just got this, that Extra Gear article open, and it's on Metro. Since when was Metro news, but not as I know it?
Since a while now, for some reason.
I'm not sure what that phrase means.
No, it doesn't really mean anything at all, does it?
No, news, but not as I know it. How can it be anything other than news?
Because it's secretly a gone?
I don't know. Anyway, leaving Top Gear to one side, Andy, I believe you have something for us to finish on.
Yes.
The news bit, anyway.
This is...
I like the way he said he's got lively there.
This is a survey by Channel 4.
Okay. Is it like the strange survey about what Muslims really think?
They always do weird surveys, don't they?
They always do weird surveys. It's just that one got really criticised badly.
Because that's kind of racist.
Yeah. Anyway, you say
a survey of 2,300, so it's actually under 10s. So that's actually quite a big survey. Of top 10 TV shows that they watch on the TV.
Top 10 TV shows?
No, top 10 kids' TV shows.
Kids' TV shows. I was going to say, specifying the kids' TV shows not the top 10 TV shows.
Does anybody
want to
guess?
Well, Timmy's favourite is The Wire.
Does anybody want to guess?
Yeah.
There's a top 10 of the number 10. It's actually quite a...
In the Night Garden.
No, it's actually
Hannibal.
Quite good title.
Knight Rider.
Hannibal.
No.
Wizardora.
Hannibal.
Ben 10.
Ben 10. Ben 10 is 10.
Yeah, Ben 10 is 10.
I like that.
At 9 is Adventure Time.
Nice.
Okay.
I don't know some of these. 8 is Dora the Explorer, who now must be about 30-odd year old.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm just imagining, you know, the crankies. The version of Dora the Explorer. Anyway, you say.
7 is Paw Patrol.
Okay.
6 is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Why?
Apparently they're still going. It's still a thing, Rob.
Because all children should know of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, if it was the original Turtles, but it's not the original Turtles, it's the new Turtles, and they suck.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They're all edgy and cool.
Better
and
than
Bear.
80s product placement Ninja Turtles.
Who were actually quite camp and jolly, right? But the new ones are all Michael Bay. Which one would you rather have, 80s product placement or Michael Bay? And I'm on about the cartoon versions.
Which one was the one with the theme tune?
The 80s one.
I like that one. I love that one.
No. It's all about early 2000s Ninja Turtles.
Is that the one where they had like a fifth turtle? Then you have like a
the
one...
The female
no,
one.
No,
yeah.
Out of nowhere.
That was kind of after they realised that things had gone a bit mental with the turtles and kind of took it back down to basics.
It's supposed to be because of an accident in a lab or whatever that mutated and all of a sudden there's a fifth turtle.
It was female and they're all trying to...
Yeah, no, that was the live action films, wasn't it?
Yeah. And the TV series.
Number 5.
Yeah.
Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom.
Okay. Don't know.
Nobody's heard of it?
No.
4, Peppa Pig.
Okay.
Everybody's heard of Peppa Pig.
Yeah. I've repeatedly heard of Peppa Pig.
Oh, no, that's the wrong joke
number
to make.
Number 3.
Sorry, before you go on to number 3, it's the wrong joke to make, but I've got to make it. Peppa Pig have a cousin called Salty Bacon.
Oh, no.
Boo, Rob, boo.
Anyway, number 3, Andy.
These 3 are all tagged as classics.
Okay.
But number 3, I'm quite uneven about. SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants is a classic.
In the article, it's described as an old, as well as the 2 above it, old show. Like an older show.
It's like 14
it's only
years
14
old.
Years old, or maybe 15.
Okay,
but
so I wouldn't
know that.
Is, isn't it still ongoing?
Yes.
I don't know how.
It's not a classic then.
And
I'm more disturbed about how Andy can be uneven about this.
And how did SpongeBob not soak up all the water?
Yeah.
Well, because Sponge... You know there are many sponges living in the real ocean?
Yes.
Those are constantly sucking in all of it. Like, that's the real reason why all the water levels around the world are going down.
You do know that a sponge can only hold so much water before it all starts dripping out.
So, like, throughout the full show, SpongeBob should have been, like sucking up all the water, like, getting bigger and smaller every, like, 5 minutes.
No, because there's all water around him, so he stays the same size. Because the water doesn't come out, it just stays there.
Don't spite.
He's more even about it now.
It. Number two.
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry.
Okay, fine.
I love Tom and Jerry. How these have changed over the years, though. I haven't watched it recently.
They haven't made Tom and Jerry... Well, they did like a new version of Tom and Jerry for a little bit, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. I think they might have a few years
ago. And Tom and Jerry Kids. Don't forget Tom and Jerry Kids.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you look at Tom and Jerry, it possibly wouldn't get away with a universal rating, the old ones these days, if they brought them out these days, because, my God, they're violent.
Oh, yeah, well, I know, they tried to... Like, a long while ago, like, the 90s, they tried to redo Tom and Jerry and, like, made it really PC.
Yeah.
And no one likes those episodes of Tom and Jerry.
No, no one acknowledges their existence.
Everyone loves the ones, like, where Tom gets depressed because a lady cat dumps me and goes sits on some train tracks.
Yeah. And this is the thing, even The Simpsons acknowledged it with Itchy and Scratchy, how violent Tom and Jerry is.
Yeah, that was the whole joke behind Itchy and Scratchy.
It was very cruel. Oops. I mean, I feel sorry for Tom. He was only trying to catch... Jerry, he kept on getting hit with irons and everything.
Yeah, but it's like Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. He was hungry. Oh, yeah. He wanted to eat. Roadrunner was there. There's nothing else to eat in the desert but Roadrunner. So obviously he has to go for Roadrunner. I blame whoever owns Acme products for basically not giving him the... Right, I reckon Acme is owned by the same company, parent company that owns IKEA, because it doesn't give you the correct instructions. You want to make a bookshelf, it ends up looking like a TV antenna.
don't forget... Brendan
Your armchair can backfire on you.
Brendan Fraser's is ahead of it, isn't he?
The Acme rocket. She's like... Put the zoomy zoomy in the bang de fatang dund.
What were you saying about Brendan Fraser?
Brendan Fraser's the head of Acme, isn't he?
Is he?
Is he?
Wasn't there a 2003 film?
Of?
Looney Tunes.
Sorry, I go by Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Ah.
Where Marvin Acme gives them their own land. I don't acknowledge any Brendan Fraser 2003 film. Marvin Acme, the one who played Patty Cake with Roger Rabbit's wife.
You're forgetting the awesome bit where Bill Goldberg was basically the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, but Bob Hoskins was the detective. Anyway. And Bob Hoskins was really good in that.
He was. Trace Bob Hoskins is really good in everything.
Yeah, true. Anyway.
Anyway, should we go to number one?
Yes.
This one has mixed feelings for me.
This one has very mixed feelings for me as well.
Scooby-Doo.
No.
Right? As an old cartoon...
Okay, it's old, yes. But it's still ongoing. Yeah.
But as the remade cartoon, which I've only seen a few clips of over the last 5 years, is that the version that you think kids are voting for?
I think it's the version that kids are voting for, but the old one was good. The new one, not so good. And the new iteration, and you know which iteration I'm talking
Scooby
about.
Scooby Apocalypse.
Yeah. Shaggy is a hipster. He has twirly mustaches and a beard. Scooby has a cybernetic...
Monocle. It's a cybernetic monocle.
Yeah.
I say this, right, for every single TV show out there that runs for this long, how long was the first Scooby-Doo episode? I mean, not how long since the first Scooby-Doo episode ever.
How long?
Must be quite a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So shouldn't it be like... In the 50s by now. Still solving crime.
Well, that's what we call arrested development, you know? They are they're only as young as they're only as old as they feel, or only as young as they feel. Let's do the trite old person response.
I want to say,
probably they're all still like in their early 20s in the 1960s, but they've just imagined all this while just high as hell.
Yes.
I want to say, Scooby-Doo Pensioners Edition. Be amazing. I'd watch that. You know, they wouldn't run that fast anymore.
Yeah.
So what, Shaggy just like dragging along just a skeleton of a dog?
Oh, no, no.
Still talks to Scooby because of his senile dementia.
No, no, because Scrappy comes along with a care package every now and then. He's grown up. He's got all that boisterousness out of his system. You know, he went to college. He went to university. He was valedictorian. Now he's got a serious job. He wears a suit every day. He works for the government just like Kent Mansley. I still love that question. Who does Kent Mansley work for? So, yeah, Scrappy comes along with a care package every so often.
Oh, hi, Scrappy. How are you? Uncle Shaggy, I've told you a million times, it's Scraps a Million.
Yes.
Scooby-Doo.
All right, it's not the bones, it's not the skeleton. No, what they've done, they've done a scrubs on it, on Scooby.
They've taxidermied Scooby.
And put him on wheels. So, yeah. Anyway, shall we take a break there?
I think we shall.
We will be back in a few moments.
Hello, and I'm Lewis from Keyframe, the geek show's coolest and most composed anime podcast. Just like an anime protagonist. No, we're crazy as heck, but watch us anyway. You'll like it. Trust me. That first bit was a lie.
Hi, everyone, and we're back. So, yeah, now we're into what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching another DVD box set that we got sent from Arrow.
Ooh.
This time it is Follow the Money, which is another one of their Nordic Noir and Beyond series.
Okay. And what's this one about then?
Well, basically, this one follows a corrupt company. So basically, series starts, there's police detective man, whose name is Mads. He finds that, basically, a couple of Ukrainian workers have died after being forced to work in not safe circumstances.
Okay.
And they're linked to this shady company called Enegreen, which is run by dodgy CEO Alexander Sodagreen. And we also follow Claudia, who is in... Basically, she starts off as a lawyer who works at the company, but then she gets dragged into... Basically trying to expose the fraud that's going on in the company.
Yeah.
Then she double crosses the guy she's working with and uses it to get, basically take his job as head of the legal department.
Okay.
So she's kind of dancing between, oh, I've got this child that I'm responsible to, but I also want this high paying career, even though it means doing dodgy things. And okay. Meanwhile, Mads is trying to solve this. He just has to deal with his wife who has MS. So he's trying to like juggle caring for her while still being an effective police officer.
Yeah.
And that's just the first episode.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Episode one is like really well paced. It's just nice and tight and twisty and fast moving. And then we get the rest of the episodes. Because when I say that Enegreen is dodgy, when it turns out they're guilty of...
What?
Insider trading.
Okay.
Which... I don't even know what insider trading is. It's like it's something to do with like
investments.
Yeah, and knowing things are on the market.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, insider trading is where you share information to basically get to increase your profit margin from the sales and from the purchase and sales of stocks and shares.
Yeah, that sentence right there. Does that sound like an exciting pitch for a 10-episode-long detective series?
Depends. If you're me, then it could be. Possibly.
No. No, it isn't. Basically, like, Mads ends up working for Fraud Division, and initially he's like, oh, fraud, you take so long to do cases. All you do is sit around and look at books. And he's like, yeah, hell yeah, Mads, you tell him. Do it like the proper hardcore police way, busting down doors and taking names. But no, he sits there. And he looks through financial records and talks to bankers. Meanwhile, the heads of Enegreen, they meet. In one episode, they spend 10 minutes talking about wind farm subsidies.
Okay, now this is...
thrilling drama, Rob.
That's actually making me feel quite tedious.
It sounds like you really enjoyed it. Hang on.
Let me rephrase what I just said, because I basically just called myself tedious somehow.
Yeah, I don't see why that needs rewording.
I won't reword it then.
My God, this series. It's like, it gets to that point of the episode where you're like, okay, it's probably nearly done now. And then you turn your head to the clock and it's been 10 minutes.
It's one of those.
It is one of those.
Oh, that's awful.
One that makes you stare at your DVD player clock or whatever, and then you're like, nearly there.
Yeah.
Nearly there.
But no, it doesn't. Like half an hour later, it's been 20 minutes. 3 years later, the first episode finally ends.
But you must have some positives, surely.
To be fair, like, they've got a subplot going on, which is a lot more interesting. Basically, there's this guy called Nicky. He lives in, like, a run-down council flat-type place. But as part of the investigation, he ends up stealing a car that's got, like, I think something like 20 million euros in it.
Okay.
So basically, he's, like, trying to basically use that money to get a better life for him and his family and also avoid the police. And that's... it's more interesting.
Yeah.
But it's also really clichéd.
Okay.
Like, pretty much every single thing he does is, like, a thing I've seen in a different drama. And, like, to the point that I could pretty much predict the exact steps he was going to take.
Wow. That's actually pretty bad. That's pretty bad writing when it's that predictable.
And I don't want to spoil the ending, but it's really unsatisfying as well how it ends.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I think part of the main problem as well is the characters.
Okay.
Mads starts off really interesting.
Yeah.
Because, like, in contrast to a lot of these Scandinavian police protagonists, he's actually got, like, a comfortable family life.
Yeah.
And he has to concentrate more on, like, taking care of a sick wife than the usual, oh, I'm getting divorced and my kids hate me type stuff. But then his wife has an affair and she says she wants a divorce. So it just becomes the typical, oh no, my family life is falling apart, like every single Scandinavian detective protagonist.
Hmm.
But anyway, but Claudia, I think she's a lot more interesting, at least initially, because it starts off like basically her realizing how shady she has to be to keep working in the job she wants. But I think the problem is like they kind of tip the hand a bit too much too early. So it gets to the point where she crosses over into that, yeah, I'm doing really dodgy stuff. And at that point, you can't really sympathize with her. Because like, a lot of her stuff then becomes about, oh, I need to try and stop myself getting arrested by the police so I can look after my son.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, oh, no, you have done these very illegal things. Like, I think basically the crux of the problem is you can't sympathize with the villains because they're doing illegal stuff. But you can't really sympathize with the heroes because the illegal stuff they're doing is quite vague and undefined, and I don't really know why they need to be arrested.
Actually, that's quite a problem, isn't it? Because you need to have some kind of sympathetic protagonist or antagonist to have you invested in the story.
Yeah.
Some character that you actually care about.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just things happening to people.
But then again, there is a market for things happening to people that you don't like. It's called EastEnders.
Yeah, but I guess it's not even like, if you're going to go for that, you need to really double down on it and, like, watch terrible things happen to bad people.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. It's just events going on while you sit and watch. And some of it is really contrived as well.
You know what would probably make it really more interesting? Zombies.
Yes.
Zombies would make it more interesting.
I agree. Zombies would make it more interesting.
Like, they almost looked like there was going to be, like, some sort of cool bit where they had to break into a factory. But then turned out the factory was just empty anyway. And you know how they broke in?
How?
Well, they went to a bar and they were having a drink. And conveniently on the bar opposite them just happened to be a worker from the factory.
They stole his key.
That's just, it's ridiculous that, like, that's such a coincidence.
It's not really breaking in then, is it? Because they didn't break anything. It's like...
well, it's like sneaking in.
It's letting yourself in unlawfully.
Thank you, our legal advisor.
I like the way Andy makes it sound as though he's got loads of experience in this.
Yeah.
There's something he's not telling us.
I just made that up off the top of my head, but it just sounded really good.
Oh, we were hoping for some juicy war stories from your youth.
From my youth?
Yes. Not commenting about my age, you're talking about yours.
It's just Andy suddenly drops into a French accent and talks about his wife as a master thief.
Don't, because now I'm imagining Top Coppers. Have you seen Top Coppers?
You know, Gerard Cliché.
Yes.
Oh, God, I love Top Coppers.
Yes.
Certainly love it more than Follow the Money. To be fair to it, it does pick up kind of towards the end of the series once things like start moving towards that conclusion.
Yeah.
But this is like episode 8 after like 5 odd hours of wind farm subsidies and financial records.
So the question I've got with this, right, and this is going to just Follow the Money is about economics and finance and shady dealings and stuff like that. But all of that generally leads to some kind of organized crime. Yeah?
Yeah.
Was there any hint of that?
There was, but that was right at the end. And they really needed to do more with that earlier on.
Second series stuff.
Like, I know sometimes people complain about like the crime in TV dramas being all ridiculously over the top.
Yeah.
But I think in some cases it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because the truth is there's some real world crime that's actually really boring. Like insider trading.
Yeah, insider trading is... you remember Barings Bank? The whole Nick Leeson thing?
Very vaguely.
He basically broke the entirety of Barings Bank because he lost something like $50 billion in a day. And they did a movie of it, and I think Anna Friel and... I've forgotten his name. Train Spotting, Obi-Wan.
Oh, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor was playing the role of Nick Leeson. And there's just one scene where he's just in the bathroom by himself, in the work bathroom, and he splashes water in his face. And he's like, I have 50 billion quid in one day! Like, yeah. Because Nick Leeson really said that to himself. Basically, Nick Leeson was just some guy who got done in dodgy deals and lost loads of money. And loads of people suffered for it. And an entire merchant bank collapsed because of him.
Yeah, but see, I feel like if they'd at least like shown people suffering for having the money lost in this, it would be better.
It'd be better as a backstory.
So nobody's actually feeling anything.
No, like you never. Like, I think the most you get victims wise is. And to be fair, this is probably the best bit of the series, is when Claudia basically has to go to one of their companies and say, we're firing half of you. But then partway through, she gets a call from Alexander saying, actually, this company has no assets. Fire everyone.
Ouch.
Yeah. Like, if there'd been more stuff like that in it, this would have been a really good series.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, right, so...
I mean, like, to be honest, Joe, we probably didn't need that 15 debate on the virtues of solar energy versus wind farm energy.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like this series should have been shorter and compacted a lot more.
So,
oh, almost definitely.
So if you were to recommend this to any certain audience... Who would you recommend it for?
People who know financial management.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, if finance is the kind of thing you're interested in, then you're probably going to get a lot more out of this. But even then, there are still some problems that doesn't fix.
Yeah.
Like, one of the lines is literally Mads yelling out, we need to get to the bottom of the evil that is Enegreen.
That's always confused me. How do you know something is evil? Or is it just where you're standing that you judge it to be evil?
Well, what's more evil than insider trading, Rob? God.
Yeah, true. No, he was being sarcastic, and so I was being sarcastic in a serious way.
If I was being not sarcastic.
But anyway, yeah, Follow the Money, not recommended.
Yes, anyway, right, so moving on to, do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Well, I've been watching something which, I was just catching up on something rather than watching something new on the TV.
Okay.
Married with Children. I've talked about this
again
so many times on other shows. Not this one. But no, I've been catching up on it, like going back over the series.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, although this has aged, it has aged over the years, it's still absolutely hilarious. And I was watching the episode where Rob probably knows the episode, Al's wife Peggy decorates the bathroom pink.
Yes.
And he has to create his own toilet downstairs in his garage. And he's designing it, trying to find out where to put the gun you know. And but he gets this toilet he calls the Ferguson, and he calls it a man's toilet with a man's flush. It doesn't just sing a little jingle when you, it like just flush. Oh, it's absolutely hilarious. And he puts more affection into that toilet, giving it a hug and everything, than he does his own wife. It's absolutely hilarious. But yeah, I've been
okay,
catching up with Married with Children, and it's brilliant.
I don't know how to follow that. It's Married with Children.
If a man hugging his own toilet doesn't make you laugh.
Well, it depends on the context. I've been a student twice, so I've seen plenty of men hugging a toilet.
I have been man hugging the toilet.
Yes.
There's always a bit where Al comes home and he goes, "Welcome." And he goes, "I'm glad to see your family." And then he goes, "I'm glad to see you." And just hugs the toilet. That's right in the middle of the room that he's just bought. It's absolutely hilarious. But the show in itself, I recommend, if you haven't seen any episodes, watch at least one from season 3 or 4. That's probably the best season. Brilliant show.
Okay. So my turn then.
Yes. Because
Andy kept his short and sweet.
Well, I guess Married with Children, innit?
Yeah, true.
It's a good show.
To be fair, you could have literally just said Married with Children, innit? And that could have been your entire thing.
Yeah. You didn't have to go into stories about men hugging toilets or doing whatever with toilets. And if his toilet's in his living room, how does he get any privacy?
He bought it, and it's just in the box. It's like sat in the in the middle of his living room before he installs it, and he comes home and just hugs the toilet in front of his family. Goes, "I love you, toilet."
See, what you should have done, right? What you should have done, because the Americans have a specific name, a specific slang name for toilet. So what you should have done, you should have basically constructed some arms and a proper backrest and make it really ornate and put the toilet in the middle so it's like one of those little commode things, but it's actually a toilet. And then basically have it all kitted out like that. Then he would have a proper throne.
Game of Thrones just became a very different show.
Yeah, I know.
I have to mention as well, though, there's also the episode where...
Game of Thrones is the cue for the bathroom in the morning.
Because in the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
So there's also the episode where the dress brought up as a bumblebee, and in a bumblebee costume, and he gets mistaken for the wrestler that has to face King Kong Bundy in the main event of a wrestling fight, like wrestling match.
Okay.
It's amazing. Actually, as King Kong Bundy in the episode.
I assume King Kong Bundy is a wrestler.
Yes. He's also the reason that they're called the Bundys. It wasn't Ted Bundy.
Oh, sorry about that. I just had to throw that out there.
Married with Children, Ted crossover you never knew you wanted.
Yep. Now, so my turn then. I've been watching several things, but...
That's the end. I've been watching several things. That's the end of the
show. That's it, show's over, turn the lights off.
I kind of went back and started watching some old stuff, just like Andy did. But I went back and I was watching... How do I explain why I was watching it? Well, it's on like CBS Action.
Curious now, you're asking why you've been watching it?
No, I've been watching The Next Generation from the beginning, from Encounter at Farpoint, all the way through. And it's been on regularly because they're showing all of the Star Trek stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And it's surprising how some episodes hold up really, really well. But then other episodes just really, really don't. You know, because remember when The Next Generation first came out, everyone was going, "Oh, it's Star Trek again." Everyone's kind of falling in love with Star Trek all over again. And we had Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard and Jonathan Frakes as number one, I'll call him, because I can't remember his name.
Oh, Riker, yeah.
Yeah, William Riker. But call him number one. The captain's number one, eh?
Oh, but I mean, the captain's number two.
Yeah. And you had What's-Her-Face as Tashia, the security officer, because Worf wasn't the security officer at that point, was he?
Yeah, Worf was later, wasn't he?
Yeah, Worf was later after Tashia died. And then you had the whole thing with Data and Tasha Yar, and there's all sorts of stuff going on. And it's strange because, I mean, the effects are strangely, the effects in the original series are sometimes more convincing than the effects in the Next Generation.
Well, I think Next Generation is where they start trying to throw in more CGI-type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's when they actually had, like, proper studio lighting and stuff like that, but it makes it look kind of fake as well.
Yeah, well, I think it's like that problem they ran into with The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Where basically you learn to shoot it in such a way that makes it look so realistic you can tell it's just people on a stage.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that Hobbit and Star Trek don't go together.
Hobbits and Star Trek don't go together.
Although no. We'll make one hell of a decent crossover. Yeah.
But I think it was it the second season when they introduced Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher?
I think second or third.
Yeah, I think it was towards the end of the second season. Then you had Will Wheaton introduced as Beverly Crusher's son, Wesley Crusher, and then it was weird because there were some episodes that were more like a family drama. And there were some episodes that were blatantly just, yeah, we can do this, so let's just do it, kind of thing. And I think that I actually preferred the ones where it was dealing with, where the characters had to deal with some kind of emotional conflict amongst the crew, some kind of conflict with the crew itself, rather than some alien encounter or something like that, something that directly affected each and every one of them. Because it affected each of them in a different way. Does that make sense?
I guess. I'm just not sure how wise it would be to like build an entire series on that kind of thing.
Well, they tried to do it, didn't they, with Deep Space Nine?
Oh, yeah, they did.
And it didn't work.
Exactly.
So we know...
The fact that you had to like remind me that Deep Space Nine existed, I think, is testament to that.
Yeah, we know that they tried to do it. And there was... some offshoot of that in Voyager as well, because they only had each other in Voyager, yeah. And Voyager was basically like the Swiss Family Robinson, Star Trek style. But Star Trek The Next Generation, it was such an iconic series, and it's a shame because later on in the series, towards the final few series, during its final run as well, the production quality of the episodes was much, much, much better than right at the beginning. And the actors, everybody knew what they were doing. They were, and it wasn't a case of them simply phoning it in. They just got so used to the character, they could play it cold. They basically knew exactly what the character was going to do. They understood the characters after so long. And so it's a very different proposition watching the final few series of The Next Generation. Because Patrick Stewart, he owns Jean-Luc Picard at that point. There's no one else who could be Jean-Luc Picard. And he's completely in that role, which is one of the reasons why I absolutely adore First Contact. It's my favorite Star Trek movie, because you got to see the other side of Patrick Stewart, the whole thing about the Borg violating him.
Yeah.
And then they actually made that out in First Contact to be more like rape, which was a weird thing, wasn't it?
It was a lot darker than I was expecting from a Star Trek movie.
Exactly. And that... but they never really touched on that in the series, never really touched on the after effects of what happened to Picard. And there's a couple of things in the series that they didn't really touch on, the after effects of it, but then they picked them up in the movies. And I think that little transition, putting some of the darker stuff and some of the stuff that they thought maybe wasn't appropriate for TV in the movies, kind of completed everything. I think as a whole package, I like The Next Generation. It's just, it's a shame it's dating so... that some of the episodes are dating not as well as, maybe the first imagined. I think some of the episodes could do with a bit of that old, the digital makeover.
Yeah, well, maybe at some point down the line we will get digitally remastered The Next Generation.
It'd be nice if we did, because it'd be nice to see the episodes in kind of really good quality. Because have you seen any digital remastered original series?
Yeah, a little bit, and I was quite impressed by the work they've done.
They look really good, don't they?
Yeah, they look really nice.
Yeah, and they've actually managed to get rid of a lot of the string that holds up the Enterprise and stuff like that. You can barely notice it now. It's just a shame that they haven't applied that to The Next Generation. So what we're seeing on TV is still the same as what was broadcast all those years ago.
Oh, yeah, well, I think it's just the next generation isn't old enough to be considered a classic yet.
Yeah, I think it does deserve to be called a classic, though, because it brought back Star Trek in a way.
No, I think it's something that will deserve to be called a classic later on.
Okay,
Once it is old enough to like qualify as a classic.
How old would you say that is?
It's 60s now. So
50 years?
Yeah, about 50 years, I would say.
Okay, so they've still got about 20 years left.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy to wait. That's it. That's what I've been watching.
If you're done, there's just one thing I wanted to say before we end, which is a thing I forgot to mention. I didn't exactly, sell it, but if you are interested in Follow the Money, it came out on the 25th of April. So, yeah, it's out there in the world.
Yes, it is.
Go find it at some place what sells DVDs.
Yes. Okay, so, right. Before we go then, the usual messages. The Geek Show Podcast Network is a voluntary organization and we do need everyone's support in order to keep producing all of our quality content. So if you can, please make a donation using the PayPal button on the right-hand side. We are running a GoFundMe campaign to raise money. And if you can share that around or even make a donation to that instead, please do so. We also have the Geek Shop, which is on the website and it's on our Facebook page. So you can find it on thegeekshow.co.uk. We've got some new designs coming in. I put out in one of the new designs yesterday and it looks really cute. I'm happy with it. And all the shows are available on Mixcloud and soon iTunes, Stitcher and also YouTube. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so. studio@thegeekshow.co.uk or get in touch with us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, my email list and various other places on the internet. Just look for us and you'll find us. So, right, and that's us for this week.
Yep, I've been Andrew.
I've been Andy.
And I've been Rob. We'll see you all next week.
And thanks for listening.